At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast. Here is your host, Tim Murray.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. And first and foremost, let me tip of the cap to you all out there as the subscriptions have continued to roll in. Saw some rankings out there where we were rated, which is what I like to see. So let's keep it rolling. We will continue throughout the NCAA tournament to have content in this feed for you. Every day this week, there will be something in this feed. And of course, next week as we get into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. So keep it up. Please telling people, rate, review, subscribe. Let's keep it rolling. We previewed the Midwest and the West late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. And now we do the South right now with Adam Burke at Skating Tripods, one of the busiest men at VSiN, as we are trying to get everything in order and have been getting everything in order for the NCAA tournament. So we're going to go with the South, which is the top left quadrant of your bracket, if you're looking at it. And Alabama is the one seed. We'll go game by game. We'll take a peek at we'll probably do play-in games in the East region recap or preview, I should say. But Mr. Burke, how are you? How has the madness preparation been treating you?
Well, it's been a lot. About 12,000 words that went into the VSiN NCAA tournament betting guide, previewing every game, and of course, you know, having to work in now the teams that advance out of the first four with Texas A&M, Corpus Christi here, and then of course Pitt hanging on against Mississippi State. So got those games left to write up as we get those results. But tell you what, man, it's a great time of the year, and it's also a good time to be keeping an eye on NIT, CBI, and Basketball Classic as well, which I know we're not going to talk about, but there's some really good betting opportunities in those tournaments as well.
Yeah, I am 0-for-1 on the NIT. I will just put that out there. I thought Bradley would be the right side against Wisconsin. Not the case. So that was a loser for me, but I am on the Mighty Penguins of Youngstown State on Wednesday night. Just putting that out there. Oklahoma State, first team left out. You know me, Adam. I like my letdown spots. I have to go on the road to Youngstown. So give me the six with the Penguins as we diverge into NIT discussion. Okay, on to the South region where your number one seed is Alabama. And they will be playing Texas A&M Corpus Christi, fresh off of a 75-71 victory. The closing number important to some. This thing opened 4.5, closed 3. We were doing the show, myself and Sean King, Adam, and look, it wasn't anything. It was more keep me entertained type of bet, but I really wanted to grab Southeast Missouri State at some point in game. I grabbed them 4.5, got very lucky. There was a late miss free throw, and the second half over came home. But I think that's about as much as we need to talk about Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Do we have a line yet? We do. 24, Adam, is the number. Alabama laying 24 against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which now is the highest spread of the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think something that we need to take away from the Texas A&M Corpus Christi game is that, honestly, they didn't play all that well.
No.
In that game against Southeast Missouri State. And it's really not that much of a surprise because their leading assist man, and I believe he was Southland Conference Defensive Player of the Year, Tyrion Murdix, he's out for the tournament. He left during the Southland Conference tournament, got hurt. And I mean, he led the conference in assists per game. Great defensive player. And when you look at that game, I mean, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 27 of 35 at the free throw line. SEMO State, 9 of 20. That was it. That was the game right there. Southeast Missouri State shot much better in that game than Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So I'm not really in the business of laying 24 points in the NCAA tournament, but I think it's Alabama or nothing in this game, to be honest with you. I'm not sure Corpus Christi can score effectively without their point guard and their floor general.
Yeah, and this is a de facto home game. This game being played in Birmingham Thursday, early afternoon. This will be a 2:45 p.m. Eastern tip. This will follow the first game of the NCAA tournament. No offense to the first four. West Virginia and Maryland. This is a fascinating, fascinating matchup. Adam, you and I were watching the bracket be unveiled together on Sunday night at Circa. Maryland, the 8 seed, West Virginia, the 9 seed, and this got out as high as 2.5. Seen a little bit of buyback here come on the Terps. So as we record this on Tuesday night, West Virginia, almost heaven, laying 2 against the Terps. And I imagine something that you'll bring up is what Maryland has done away from home. Now, I know this is technically a neutral game, but Maryland is atrocious on the road this year. 2 road wins all season against mighty Minnesota and even mightier Louisville. Now, they did win 2 not neutral site games, which, you know, needs to be read into the record. They went up to Mohegan Sun and beat St. Louis and Miami way back in November. But if this was being played at Xfinity Center and in Maryland, they might win the national championship, but it's not. They're in Birmingham, and I know Kevin Willard's track record is not ideal in the NCAA tournament. I have not played this game. I would be maybe looking West Virginia money line, Adam, but no official play yet on this one for me. Anything for you, and how do you break this one down? A regional rivalry that'll be taking place down in Birmingham.
Yeah, look, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, and you and I were sort of talking about this, as you mentioned, as the bracket was coming out. Maryland is kind of a poor man's Indiana in some ways, in that, you know, both of those teams bad on the road, but Maryland especially bad. 11 of their 12 losses in road or neutral settings. And look, West Virginia is a really tough team to prepare for because they play a brand of basketball. It's very physical. They do that press Virginia defense. You know, their turnover percentage, 20.9%, 47th in the country. And when you look at the Big Ten, there really aren't that many teams that force turnovers, and not a whole lot of them that kind of have the ball pressure that West Virginia has. I'm not sure Maryland's going to be ready for this style of game, for West Virginia to be as physical as they are, for West Virginia to get to the line, for West Virginia to be a great offensive rebounding team. I like the Mountaineers in this game. I think -2 is a pretty good bet on them. I don't necessarily love them against Alabama in the second round, but I think West Virginia is a good bet here against Maryland.
The only thing I would say Maryland has going for them, I mean, look, they're not a bad team. They're an 8 seed for a reason. They've had some really good wins. Didn't really necessarily finish the season on a high note, losing back-to-back road games to close out the regular season, beat Minnesota on a neutral, and then get beat up by Indiana. You know, Jameer Young, I would say, is the best player on the floor. Their guard, he's tremendous. The transfer from Charlotte, really good player. But yeah, I haven't, like I said, I haven't gotten to the window yet, but brackets I've filled out, I have West Virginia there. So you like West Virginia, I would probably lean that way as well. The next game I actually do have a play on. And, you know, the night of the bracket reveal, I think you and I were in similar mindset here. In Orlando, this is the 5-12 matchup, San Diego State against Charleston. And I get it. Look, I have one 12 seed winning outright and contemplating two others to cover. But this is the one I don't. And I know there's probably a lot of people who think Pat Kelsey's College of Charleston team with their gaudy record is going to take care of business. And, you know, the Mountain West stinks. I really like this San Diego State team. And the metrics like them. They're 14th in KenPom. And, you know, the difference to me is so interesting when you look at, and I do preface this, Adam, and I think I tweeted out something. Look, we say KenPom, and we say Bart Torvik, and we say Haslam. There's a lot of really good, you know, assets out there if you're a college basketball fan or better. And none of them are Bibles, but they're all good references. You know, San Diego State and Charleston, it's a massive difference between where they are considering a 5-12 showdown. This is 14 versus 74 per KenPom. And Charleston, I looked this up because I just needed to know. Among the 68 teams in the field, Adam, they had the sixth easiest schedule in the field. I mean, that's saying something. And now you're going up against a defense that can be completely suffocating, a team that has been very much tested. I like San Diego State. I'm not a big guy who likes to lay chalk. I have played San Diego State multiple ways here. I laid the five, which, you know, kind of hurt me in my core. But I also took San Diego State today to make it to the Sweet 16 at plus 154. The reason I played that and didn't go, you know, rollover parlay, because I think there's a chance that Virginia loses to Furman. I don't know if it will happen, but I'm protecting myself with that. They will be a favorite against Virginia, but I really like this San Diego State team. I get it. The Mountain West stinks in the NCAA tournament in recent years, but I think this is a little bit too trendy of a team in College of Charleston. And I just think people are going to look at their record, Adam, and say, oh yeah, College of Charleston, they're 31-3. They can absolutely, you know, make it to the second round, and maybe they will, but I just think ultimately the better team, by a decent stretch, is San Diego State. So I laid it with the Aztecs, and I think they make it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this is one, and I ranted about this when we were at Circa, right when this game was drawn. And of course, you know, doing the South region first, this was one of the first games that we saw of the NCAA tournament come out on Selection Sunday. The selection committee's on their bullshit again. This is what they do. They put these dangerous mid-majors up against each other or give them some sort of really difficult draw just to kowtow to the blue bloods and the major conferences and all of that. And look, obviously this is an exciting tournament. You're going to get some Cinderella team. Probably you get, you know, all these buzzer beaters and all these, you know, dramatic calls and all of that, but we've probably been robbed of some pretty decent Cinderella teams because of how the selection committee pairs these teams in the first round. And this is one of them. College of Charleston fits the profile as a team that could be a Cinderella. They shoot a ton of threes. If they get hot, they can beat a lot of the teams in this field. San Diego State, probably not one of them. San Diego State, seventh in the nation in three-point percentage defense, 29.2%. Only Alabama shoots a three more often than College of Charleston. This is just not a good matchup at all for the Cougars. The Aztecs are a team that, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, they're 11th in Bart Torvik. College of Charleston is 72nd. They've been a top 10, top 15 all season long by these ranking sites. This is just a bad matchup for College of Charleston. And also, you know, College of Charleston wants to run. If they could get in a run and gun, run and shoot type of game against a team, that would be better for their Cinderella chances. But San Diego State is so methodical. You know, they're a physical team. They're an experienced team. College of Charleston just got boned by a really bad draw here. And I agree with you. I think the Aztecs are the side in this game. And it's a damn shame, you know, that this happens again. But, I mean, maybe College of Charleston pulls the surprise. Maybe they pull the upset, which wouldn't be good for either one of us. But it's just it's not a conducive matchup for the style of play that they have.
Yeah, and look, people, I agree, you know, and, you know, there were a couple matchups, and we're going to preview the East region. Memphis, Florida Atlantic is another one where it's frustrating that those two teams have to go against each other. I would have much rather see FAU take on Iowa and Memphis take on a Power 5 team, but they decided to put those two teams together. Both of those teams I thought could make runs. We'll get into that in the East region. People are going to mention the record, and rightfully so, 31-3 Pat Kelsey squad. Their non-conference was an embarrassment, and San Diego State tests themselves. They went to the Maui Invitational. You know, they lost in overtime to Arkansas. Really, their only ugly loss, so to speak. I guess a home loss in New Mexico, but, you know, New Mexico just was a different team as the season went on. After that, two road games to NCAA tournament teams, Nevada and Boise State, lost to those games. But outside of that, I thought they were impressive to watch in the Mountain West Conference tournament. You know, this is a Mountain West. I've said it once, and I'll say it a million times. Statistically speaking, they're a better conference than the ACC. Now, is Duke better than San Diego State? I don't think so, but hey, we could see Duke make a run. I think this is just a really tricky matchup for San Diego State, or excuse me, for Charleston. And the reason, Adam, I played them to make it to the Sweet 16 at plus 154 instead of doing a money line rollover is because of the 4-13 matchup. We'll get to it right now. UVA taking on Furman, and it was impulse as the bracket came out and the first line popped at Circa. I took Furman at plus 6. As I've gotten to think more and more about it, and Furman has become the trendiest underdog of the entire first round, depending on where you look. In most spots, it is. And we still have plenty more time for that to come in. I'm starting to get a little queasy or squeamish, but I think the Paladins, you know, for an upset situation, this is a good spot, right? It's a team that shoots incredibly well. They're the number one team in the country in two-point field goal percentage. The pack line defense kind of gives you those mid-range jumpers, top 35 in offensive efficiency, a team that, you know, not an amazing non-conference schedule, but tested themselves a little bit in the non-con, had a couple neutral site games, you know, early on in the season. And then you look at Virginia. Virginia upset 2 years ago, lost to Ohio that was a very popular underdog. They lose that game as a, I think, 5 or 6 point favorite, you know, last year. You know, they make a, you know, they didn't even make the NCAA tournament. So here they are back in the NCAA tournament. You know, they are without Vanderplas. You know, they're 6'8", former Ohio forward. He's done for the season. So, you know, we'll see. This is a Virginia team that maybe played one of its best couple games of the season in the ACC tournament against UNC and Clemson, and then was god-awful against Duke. So seems pretty trendy, and we'll see how Tony Bennett goes about it. But I believe the number is Tony Bennett 7-13 ATS in the NCAA tournament at UVA. So as a favorite in a team that is, you know, the third slowest tempo in the country, it makes you feel a little, you know, as they're susceptible. So we'll see here. But I did take the 6. I don't know if it'll be an official play here on the podcast, but I do have a 6 in pocket on Furman. How do you break down UVA and Furman?
Well, I think something that's really difficult when you look at Charleston and you look at Furman, I mean, these are two teams that played 3 quadrant 2 or better games throughout the course of the season each. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what they're going to do, you know, when tested by some of these better teams. And of course, that's part of the allure of March Madness. You know, you do get this upset potential from teams that, you know, are stepping up in class. And I think you brought up a really important point about Virginia, and it's that they play really, really slowly. And some teams, it's better for them to play an up and down kind of game, try to outscore a team. I think about Oral Roberts, for example, a team we'll talk about later on in the show. They need kind of a faster pace game. I think that's better for them than playing some super slow game where they either make their three or they don't, and the ball goes down the other end of the floor. This is a scenario here where you've got a Furman team that shares the ball well. Almost 85% of their shots are either close twos at the rim or three-point attempts. So they don't do a lot in the mid-range. They purposely stay away from the mid-range. But as you mentioned, Virginia forces you into that kind of shot. So how does Furman adjust? What does Bob Ritchie do with his team to make the adjustment to that? Ultimately, I think this is a difficult game to bet simply because Furman shoots a three 46.4% of the time. If they make their threes, they win. If they don't, they may not even cover. So that's the thing, and that's kind of what it comes down to in these Virginia games and why the Cavaliers have been susceptible. It's a slow-paced game. If the other team's getting threes and they're not, it's hard for them to not only cover numbers, but also win games. So a lot of games are going to be dangerous for Virginia. I think this one is. I do think they ultimately win because Furman's biggest strength is getting to the rim, and that's hard to do against Virginia. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Cavaliers get a big-time scare in this game.
Do you think Virginia, if they match up with San Diego State, and I know we're just looking at the first-round matchups, but if Virginia and San Diego State meet up, San Diego State would be the favorite. Who would you ultimately take to prevail in that one?
Yeah, I think I would like San Diego State in that game, to be totally honest with you. I mean, you know, San Diego State is just, they're so good. They're so efficient on both ends of the floor. And Virginia, they go through some scoring droughts. I mean, we've seen that in the NCAA tournament before. That would be a really slow-paced game, I think, as well. And that's something that probably favors San Diego State, too. So I think San Diego State has a very, very strong chance of moving on to the Sweet 16. And I do like the bet that you made, regardless of if they face Virginia or Furman, if they get past Charleston.
All right, let's go to the 6-11 matchup. This will be in Denver, Colorado. Creighton and NC State. Creighton laying 5 in this one. A couple 5.5s, but we'll use 5 because that is the consensus number. 148.5 in this one. Creighton is really tricky team to kind of figure out because they've just been a roller coaster ride. Preseason, everybody loved Creighton. You know, I kind of got sucked into the Creighton love affair early on when the transfers were going on. I took a little 40-1 on Creighton. Then everybody seemed to be on Creighton. I wrote up the Big East for our conference, for our betting guide. And of course, by the way, I said Marquette, no doubt about it, it's going to win the conference, you know, lock it in. No, I didn't. But I said, I think I put Creighton 1, but there was a caveat in there like this feels a little too trendy. So ultimately what happens is they have this stretch in December or late November into December where they're really bad. You know, they lose 6 in a row. You know, Kalkbrenner is hurt Kalkbrenner, I think it's mono. So he's sidelined. And then they get this run in January into February where they are phenomenal. They're going, they win 8 in a row. And I did a thing on, you know, VSiN Primetime about, hey, you should play them to make the Final Four. And then they start to kind of come back down to earth. Some close losses, lose on the road on a Saturday, get blown out by Villanova, close out the regular season with, you know, Georgetown, DePaul, whatever, beat Villanova, and then get blown out at the Garden by Xavier. So I don't fully know what to think of this team heading into this showdown. I ultimately am going to stay away from this game. I would lean Creighton to cover this number because, you know, I'm not a full-on believer in this ACC. And look, Pittsburgh won on Tuesday night in a game that had 21 lead changes. Congratulations to Pitt, and they move on, and they'll take on Iowa State, a game they could potentially win that game. But, you know, I look at this NC State team, and, you know, what are they holding their hat on? A blowout win of Duke when, you know, Duke was a shell of themselves in early January. They did beat Miami in overtime in January as well. It feels like to me that the best basketball that the Wolfpack played was in January.
So this is one where both of these teams are pretty inconsistent. And honestly, when you look at NC State on an individual player level, they are very talented. I mean, this is a team that should have had a much higher ceiling than it did. And when I go to this game, I think Creighton's best basketball is something that NC State can't compete with. And I do like Creighton, and I did lay the number here with the Blue Jays in this game, because as much as you can poke holes in what happened with Creighton, I mean, this is an NC State team that within the last 3 weeks has lost to Clemson by 25 and 26 points. And Clemson didn't even make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So to me, this is a situation where I cannot trust NC State at all whatsoever. I think Creighton is just the better team. Creighton gets to the rim a lot more frequently, and NC State allows teams to get to the rim. I think it's going to be very tough for the Wolfpack to stop Ryan Kalkbrenner in this game. And the other thing about this, and this is really important, if you're looking at these NCAA tournament lines and you're thinking about betting favorites in that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 point range, Creighton is an exceptional team at the free throw line. And that's what you need. You need a team that's going to make their free throws, extend that lead, put the pressure on. They're almost a 77% team at the free throw line. So I think Creighton is the side here in this game. I mean, I know they don't force a lot of turnovers. They're going to have to play good half-court defense, but they've done that for the most part here throughout the course of the season. Their three-point rate against one of the best in the country, 29.8%. And North Carolina State has to shoot threes, and Creighton kind of pushes you off the three-point line. They push you into that mid-range where NC State's been good, but it's not a big part of their offense. So I think Creighton wins and covers this game. And honestly, if Creighton gets through NC State, I think they are a handful for the Baylor Bears.
So real quickly, before we get to Baylor UCSB, which is the 314 here, I've been using this time frame for a lot of games, the last month of the season, because Memphis is really good in the last month of the season, 10th best in the country per Bart Torvik. Drake is number 12. So those are two teams that I like. We talked about it, the Drake situation. We'll talk about the Memphis spot in the East. NC State, since February 4th, 90th in the country. That is not good. That is way on down there. Missouri also 89th and Providence 91st. So kind of goes into how some teams are playing. UMass Lowell, by the way, 87th, just pointing that out. But they have not been playing great basketball. So yeah, Creighton, a team that I think wins, haven't laid the number, but you did. Let's get to Baylor and UCSB. Baylor, a team that I took a preseason future on the Baylor Bears. Felt awful, then felt okay, and now I'm not feeling so great. Back-to-back losses to Iowa State to close out the season, and this is pretty surprising here. Here's one little nugget that we had Evan Abrams on my show, VSiN Primetime, and this is pretty interesting. Teams since 2000 that are top four seeds, which is what Baylor is, that have entered the first round on a two-game losing streak are 17-0 and 14-3 against the spread. Baylor is fitting that category. They play UCSB. They're a 10.5-point favorite. This is a Friday game in Denver. Like we've said, I laid the number with Houston. That might be the biggest number I'm going to lay here in the first round. I'm not going to lay 10.5 here, but with the guard play that Baylor has, I think they could take care of business. But long term, man, that future I have, I mean, I'm not going to rip it up because it's in an app, so I can't do that. But a team that's 104 in defensive efficiency, yeah, I'm not too thrilled about where I stand with that. But you know, how good is your good? They took care of business against Texas not that long ago. I think they don't have much trouble with UCSB here, but not going to lay the 10.5 against the Gauchos.
Yeah, this is a bit of a shame for the Gauchos because there's a lot of things they do really well. Joe Pasternak is a really, really good head coach. This will probably be his last game coaching at UCSB. They're a really sound team. I thought they were the best team in the Big West all season long. Wrote about that in my conference tournament preview. they do end up getting the auto bid here. Really efficient team. You know, 22nd in the country in two-point percentage on offense, 28th in the country in effective field goal percentage offense. They take good care of the basketball, but a lot of that against the Big West. You know, they haven't played a single quadrant one game yet this season. They're going to get one here. They just can't keep up with Baylor's physicality. They can't keep up with Baylor's athleticism. At the same time, I don't want to lay the number with Baylor, because Baylor, for a team that's as talented as they are, a team that's as good as they are, less than 25% of their shots were twos at the rim. 24.8% shot share on close twos. They don't get to the rim. They have to knock down threes to win games by margin. They shoot a three over 45% of the time. I don't know if they'll do that in this game. They might, and if they do, they may win by 20 or 25 points. But I don't like that kind of profile. And another thing I don't like, Scott Drew. I know that Scott Drew had the team that won it all in 2021, but other than that, Baylor's largely been underwhelming in the NCAA tournament with some pretty damn good teams. Three exits in the first round, two exits in the second round, dating back to their first NCAA tournament appearance under Drew in 2008. They'll win this game. I don't know if they'll cover it, but as I said, I mean, I think Creighton would be, and this isn't a shocking statement to make, Creighton's very live in that second round game. And if Baylor gets through that, I don't think they beat Arizona. So I think Baylor, the best they can do in this tournament is get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, no, I agree. As much as I'd love to see them make a magical run, but I can't see it with that defense. All right, on to the 7-10 matchup. This will be in Sacramento on Thursday. Utah State, the 10 seed. Missouri, the 7 seed. Utah State, a slight favorite in this one, laying 1.5 with a high total of 155.5. Like, I get it. I saw another nugget. Utah State, I think, has won one NCAA tournament game. It came way back in 2000. I don't think that really matters. The thing that sticks out to me in this game is Utah State's capability of shooting a three at an elite level. Now, they've had some games, and I've been on them, like against San Diego State at home, where they were dreadful from three, but this team can light it up from outside. They've been tested, got a good track record there, played an Oral Roberts team in Logan in the non-con, and, you know, beat a decent Washington State team out in Hawaii. I guess not that great, but, you know, but the Mountain West is solid. But what I want to get to is the three-point shooting, right? 38.5% from three, and they put up a ton of threes. 42.1% of their possessions are threes, so they're gonna want to shoot some threes. They're 13th in the country in offensive efficiency. And for Missouri, what's shocking to me about Missouri is they're not very good at defending the three, which is alarming, because the Southeastern Conference, which is the second time I've called the SEC the Southeastern Conference for some reason today, the SEC, Adam, they are terrible at shooting the three. They are 32nd out of 33 conferences in shooting the three. Now, Missouri's a good offensive team, actually a really good offensive team, top 10 in offensive efficiency, but I actually like Utah State here in this spot. I know they're, you know, going on another Mountain West team seems like a really dumb thing to do, but I haven't bet it yet, but it's going to be an official play, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to roll with Utah State here, minus 125 on the money line. I'm just going to hope that, hey, they could shoot the ball well. They're in Sacramento, so less travel. And, you know, sometimes it's funny, Adam, I'm curious how you go about it, but like, when there is a high seed that is so reliant on threes, I tend to fade them. But when there's a middle of the road seed, I like to back them, hoping, hey man, maybe they're going to catch lightning in a bottle in this game and we're going to be on cruise control. So Utah State can light it up from three. Missouri hasn't seen many teams that can do that playing in the SEC. I like the Aggies here in this spot.
You know, what I think is ironic here is that Missouri actually shoots the three at a higher rate than Utah State does, about 1% higher in terms of their three-point rate, but they're worse from three. They're shooting 36.1%, which is still 70th in the country. They're also a top 15 offense and two-point percentage. So I don't have a bet on this game, but I think this might be maybe one of the two or three most interesting and most exciting first-round games. You mentioned the high total on this game. That's very, very much justified with two offenses that are in the top 15 in adjusted offensive efficiency. The one thing about this game that I really can't handicap, honestly, I don't know how it's going to play out. Missouri was fifth in the nation in turnover percentage at 24.3%. You know, you hear about bend but don't break defenses. That's usually something you hear a lot more in football. This is, if they don't get a turnover, they're giving up points. That's basically what this season has been like for Missouri. So that's the question. If Utah State takes care of the basketball, they probably outscore Missouri in this game. If they don't, they very much open the door for the Tigers. So this could potentially be a live betting situation. We have two very, very good coaches here in Ryan Odom and Dennis Gates. Dennis Gates, of course, was at Cleveland State. Ryan Odom, you know, a guy that...
UMBC.
Look, I mean, yeah, he's got... maybe the most impressive win of all time in the NCAA tournament. So two really well-coached teams here. I want to see how this game starts. I want to see if Utah State is taking care of the basketball, if Missouri is, you know, getting clean looks, if they're able to knock those down. Because keep in mind, all nine of Missouri's losses this year, quadrant one opponents. Now, Utah State is one of them. Missouri was 6-9 in those games. But when Missouri loses, they lose to really good teams. So we'll see if that's the case here. But that's the one thing I'm looking at is, does Utah State have a problem taking care of the basketball against Missouri? And if they do, then that's how the Tigers end up winning this game. And if they take care of the ball, Utah State probably wins a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, for Utah State, you know, middle of the pack, above average in turnover percentage this year. But yeah, I'm just I know it's a high total and a very low spread. So, you know, in-game betting, like we saw in a game that ultimately didn't really play up to its high total, but using the first four for an example, you know, Texas A&M Corpus Christi open or closed three, and you could have got Southeast Missouri State. I don't know as high as we got, but you definitely could have got 6, 7, 8. And I took a little nibble at 4.5 way too early and was super lucky to get there. But yeah, with these low spread, high total games, and with a team like Utah State that can go on these stretches of 3-point shooting, you've got an opportunity in this game with a wide window. There's no doubt about it.
There's one thing I want to add real quick here is UNLV was the number one team by far in turnover percentage in the Mountain West. They were 5% better in turnover percentage on defense than anybody else in the conference, 24.7%. That was top five in the nation. UNLV lost by 25 to Utah State in one game and by 4 in the other game. And Utah State had 21 turnovers in the 4-point win and 19 turnovers in the 25-point win. So they have proven that even if they don't take care of the basketball, they can still score at a high level. So maybe that's kind of a reference point, I guess I'll say. That we can use for Utah State. Maybe it bodes well for them here in this game against Missouri.
Well, and the team that we both like in San Diego State, you know, let's give them some credit, right? Utah State this year lost in the Mountain West Championship to San Diego State, 62-57. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat in that game. They went 4 of 24 from three. In the regular season showdown at home against San Diego State, where I actually bet Utah State, they went 5 of 19 from 3. And then at Viejas, they, as a team, Utah State went 11 of 33. And a game, by the way, that San Diego State shot 55% from 3 in that one. So, you know, for Utah State, their bugaboo seems to be the Aztecs since January 17th, which was that 4-point win at home against UNLV. They have a total of 4 losses, and 3 of them came against San Diego State. They were playing probably some of their best basketball down the stretch, were the Aggies, including a regular season beatdown of Boise State to close out the season. So, yeah, I like the way they're playing here. I like the matchup a little bit there for Utah State. I just don't know a 3-point team that Missouri has faced to close out SEC play. All right, to close out the region, 2:15, we've got Arizona taking on Princeton, and this game also in Sacramento. Arizona, a pretty hefty favorite, 14.5 or 14, depending on where you look. Mostly 14.5 at time of record, only a 14 at Circa. You know, I think we briefly hit on this one on Sunday night on VSiN, Adam. You know, I look at this Arizona team. I wanted to be different. I think I ultimately took them out of this region. I go back and forth with this Arizona team. They got so much size with Tabellis and Balo. Kirk Creasa can light it up. You know, we saw Ramey hit the big shot in the Pac-12 championship game, but they can get really cold too. So I don't anticipate them having much issue with this Princeton team. And before people just assume this is going to be a low scoring game, you know, Princeton's middle of the road now in tempo. This isn't, you know, old school Princeton where they, you know, are going to make it 50-48 and, you know, give UCLA a run for their money, or Georgetown, wherever it was back in the day. I think they beat UCLA if I remember correctly, but how do you look at this game? I'll be honest. I don't have much. I'm not going to lay 14 with Arizona. And I get nervous when I see mid majors or low majors face a team that has the size like Arizona does.
Yeah, this is one where, I mean, Arizona plays at a top 10 tempo in the country. And if you're going to lay big numbers with some of these teams, I mean, obviously every matchup is unique. Every matchup is different. This is the kind of game where I look at it and I say, okay, Arizona's getting in the 80s. How many points will Princeton score? Do I think that they can get to the upper 60s, low 70s and cover this number? Truthfully, I don't know. You know, I mean, they're a good offensive team, but the Ivy League is not a good conference at all whatsoever. And for Arizona, it's kind of a question of how long do they keep everybody in? You know, I mean, is this a scenario where they're going to play the full 40? Are they just going to completely empty the bench when they got a big lead in this game? There are way too many unknowns for me here for this one. So the one interesting stat I'll mention here really quick, you mentioned Balo, 57 dunks for Arizona's 7-footer this year. Princeton had 49 dunks as a team. So just a fun little stat there.
49 dunks as a team?
Oh, yeah, man. It's, and you know what's funny? They get to the rim at about a 45% rate. They just don't dunk the ball when they get there.
I shouldn't laugh. I had zero dunks in my collegiate career.
How? You're like 6'5".
6'6", man.
6'6".
You got to play a lot in order to get the dunks. You know? I was out there to get rebounds and take charges and miss free throws. So,
for what it's worth, the entire VMI basketball team had only one more dunk than you this season.
No.
They had one dunk.
Wow.
According to Bart Torvik.
That's like my high school basketball team. All right. We'll get to our best bet recap here in just a sec, but let me run through the futures. And I'm using BetMGM, so as we always say, as a staple here at VSiN, please shop around. But these are the BetMGM region odds. Alabama plus 190, Arizona plus 400, Baylor plus 550, Creighton 8-1, UVA 12-1, San Diego State plus 875, and then Maryland and West Virginia. Maryland 22-1, West Virginia 18-1. Anything in your opinion worth a play in the South region futures market?
I wouldn't say worth a play. And in my bracket, I have Arizona to get out of it. I'm concerned about Alabama being so dependent on the three. If they have a bad shooting game against a San Diego State or somebody like that, that could be curtains for them. I think Arizona's just really, really good. They have all the pieces that you want to make a run. So I do have them advancing out of this region in my bracket, but I don't think that the value is necessarily there at the price that you mentioned.
Yeah, we talked about this with Matt last night on the West Region pod, where I liked Gonzaga, but at 4-1, to me, it wasn't worth a play for them to come out of the region. I do have a region bet in the East Region, which we'll get to, which I think there is a little bit of value there. But yeah, at 4-1, I have Arizona coming out too. Real quickly before we hit our best bet recap, Alabama. This situation with Brandon Miller, they had a little you know, once the news came out where Brandon Miller brought the gun to the murder scene, and that became a massive talking point and led SportsCenter. They were, I believe, 0-4 ATS down the stretch. Yeah, they South Carolina won, didn't cover. Arkansas won, didn't cover. Auburn won, didn't cover. Lost to Texas A&M. But then they went to the SEC tournament and they ran over teams and smashed Texas A&M. Now, you've covered NCAA tournaments, I would imagine. I have. Everyone's out there, man. So Brandon Miller hasn't spoken to the media I don't believe. The pressure's going to start to mount, and especially when they go, you know, to the Sweet 16, to the Elite Eight. So do you think the pressure and all of the questions, not only to Brandon Miller, but to this team, does it get to this team at some point? Because it did for a little bit, and then it seemed to subside in the SEC tournament. Is this team able to overcome and avoid the outside noise heading forward in the NCAA tournament?
I think it's a fair question to ask, right? I mean, starting in Birmingham could not be any better for them.
Sure.
You know, so we'll see what happens as they kind of progress through the tournament. Could it be, you know, the distractions, the fact that, you know, once they get out of Birmingham, I'm pretty sure every crowd will be against them based on, you know, what's kind of happened within that program, and also how Nate Oates handled the situation, which was a masterclass in how not to handle a situation like that. It is something that could end up hurting them, but the four games you mentioned at the end of the regular season, and I actually ran the numbers on this because I put them in my matchup analysis for the Texas A&M Corpus Christi game in Alabama that I think is live now at vsin.com, will certainly be by the time you hear this podcast. In those four games, Alabama was 25 of 116 from three. That's 21.6%. They shot 33.3%, which is their season average in the SEC tournament, and they won by 23, 11, and 19. So this is what I'm talking about. If they shoot really poorly, and it can happen, that's how they're susceptible. So I don't know if it'll necessarily be the outside influence or anything like that, but that's the thing I'm worried about with them is that, yeah, they're great defensively, but if they have a, you know, 7-for-33 game from three, are they able to overcome it in this one-and-done format?
Yeah, the San Diego State Alabama potential showdown, I think, would be fascinating. When you look at San Diego State, the way they defend, are they good enough offensively? That would be a big question, but I'd be curious to see if we get that matchup. I hope we get it.
Is that the only team in the top half of the bracket you think can beat Alabama?
Yes.
I do. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think Virginia can beat them. I like West Virginia, but I know we can eat these words come this weekend, but you know, I don't think West Virginia can beat them. I think San Diego State can. I really do. I think they can beat Alabama. It'd take a really good game, but they've been tested. And, you know, give credit to Brian Dutcher. He puts them out there, man. They play some big boy games in the non-conference. All right, let's wrap it up with our best bet recap.
Best bet recap.
All right, Adam, I'll let you go first. Best bets we want to put on the record here for the South region.
Well, so as I said, I laid the number with Creighton in that game against NC State, and I know that number's moved a little bit in Creighton's direction. So, you know, there's a few 5.5s out there. I think -5 is a good number on Creighton. That's what I wound up with in that one. Another game that I took, I laid the price with San Diego State. I know that's one that you and I've talked about already, so I'll let you expand a little more on that one. And I think I'm going to take West Virginia -2. I haven't done it yet, but I can't get over how bad Maryland's been outside of College Park and how difficult it is to face West Virginia. So I think West Virginia -2 will be another one on my card.
San Diego State -5, as you alluded to, that is a best bet. And San Diego State to head to the Sweet 16. Now, I think DraftKings had it at +135. I got it in town. We are in Vegas. I know that people listening to this podcast are across the country, across the world. I got it at +154. So see what you can get. But I really like them to get to the Sweet 16. And the reason I played it now is the protection of what if Furman beats Virginia. I think Furman's potentially live. I do have a bet on them. They're not going to be a best bet here. I'm just getting a little gun-shy on the fact that Furman, it feels like, is a very, very chic upset pick. So San Diego State -5, San Diego State to make the Sweet 16 at +154, and then I will lay the money line price on Utah State against Missouri -125. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. This is the South region. Obviously, we have all the other regions for you to listen to. But as we always ask, please rate, review, subscribe. Let everyone know. We love the numbers. Let's keep it rolling. We're going to have plenty of content for you all throughout the NCAA tournament. For Adam Burke, I'm Tim Murray. This is the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.